The sermon passage this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This afternoon, we're very glad to have Reverend John to share with us God's Word, a continuation of last week's sermon. Sermon title today is The Heart of Worship, Part 2. Reverend John, please.
Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters in Christ, again. And if those who came late just now, if you are baptized and you do not have the elements in your hand, please raise it up, okay? We will observe the communion later on today. Okay. Today's sermon is the second installment of on the topic of worship. In my sermon last Sunday, I touched on the essence of worship. We cannot worship God on our terms. We don't get to decide on what is acceptable to Him. God has made it known to us through His Word. He's not silent on this matter or on this topic. To recap, to worship God by way of praising and thanksgiving, it is essential that we know Him and experience Him real in our lives. Serving that honors God's name is worship. It's not just singing and giving offering. Serving God is worship. Thus, it happens not only on Sundays within the walls of the church. It happens outside the church building as well, from Monday to Saturdays. Worship using our lips and hands in service comes from a heart that is humble, contrite, and possess reverence for God's name. Worship is not about giving your best to God, but giving your heart to God, putting Him first. Lastly, true spiritual worship transforms the worshipper into the likeness of Christ. There's one segment of a Sunday worship service I did not touch on in my sermon last week. Anyone want to guess? The preaching of the sermon. Okay. And this is what I'll address today, right? Now, when it comes to the preaching of the sermon, to some worshippers, this is the main event of the entire worship service. In their minds, this is the only thing that matters, because the word of God is preached. So, is it expository? Is the preaching expository? Inspiring? Are there illustrations? Applications? PowerPoint slides? Is there a big idea? Three main points or summary? Did the preacher preach from memory without looking at the notes or his or her manuscript? Was the preacher eloquent or charismatic in the delivery? They come to the Sunday service expecting to hear a sermon that is well-polished, and crafted and communicated skillfully. And when the desires are not met, they leave with disappointment, dissatisfaction, and unhappiness. And sometimes they express that to the pastor. Again, I'm not implying that it is okay for the preacher to be lazy, not to put effort in preparing the sermon. Don't get me wrong. The preacher must never neglect studying the scripture diligently. That is primary when it comes to preaching. Or am I dismissing the need for the preacher to hone his or her skill, communication skill, right? It is good to do that. Also, it goes without saying, right, that the sermon must be theologically sound, biblical truths are not twisted, conflicted, or compromised. Now, having said all the above, how are we to look at this segment of the Sunday worship service? From a worship standpoint, right? Certainly is part of the worship service. So how do we look at it from the worship standpoint? Worship is basically a response to God, right? It is not something that we initiate. It is a response to what God has done, right? The initiative from God is a response to that. Therefore, it is not about what we can get out of it, but what we offer to God. But what are we to offer God when it comes to the proclamation of His word, the preaching of the sermon? Well, before I continue further, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we humbly commit this time into your loving hands, asking that you bless it. Lord, give us understanding, give us insights that is in line, really, that comes from your word, and really that align our hearts, Lord, to your truths, because you have made us to be worshippers. So, Lord, open our eyes to see the light of truth. And I'll unlock our ears to hear it. And let your spirit convict our hearts with regards to our response to the preaching of your word as worshippers. In Jesus' name, amen. The God whom we worship is the only true and living God, the God of the Bible. He speaks to us through his written word. The Holy Spirit takes the word to judge the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts, Hebrews 4:12. God uses His word to show us truth, expose our sinful ways, correct our mistakes, and train us to live right, 2 Timothy 3:16. The preacher on Sunday ministers to us from the word of God. He or she is entrusted the task to communicate God's truth. The Holy Spirit wants to nourish, convict, shape every worshiper through God's word. There are just two things to offer God in this segment of worship, right? To receive His blessing, two things to offer God. Okay, the slides are a bit mixed up. What are they? Very obvious. You heard the passage that was read to you by our brother Timothy, right? Okay, it's in order, sorry. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Right? What you see in yellow, right? Two things. What are the two things? It's obvious. hearing ears and willing hearts. Hearing ears and willing hearts. These are the two things we offered to God as worshippers when it comes to the sermon. Let's begin with hearing ears. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Our Lord Jesus said this three times in the Gospel of Matthew. He who has ears, let him hear, is the translation in the English Standard Version. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Of course, all of us have ears. So are we hearing? That's the key question. The Lord's call is for his audience to listen intently. Pay attention to what he's saying. The living word. Let's briefly look at the parable of the sower. Why this parable? Because Jesus speaks of four kinds of hearers in this parable. The first kind of hearers are the careless hearers. First kind of hearers, the careless hearers. Luke 8, verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The careless hearers are people who hear the word outwardly, but it never truly enters the heart, right? It bypasses that, you know. And basically, there's no openness, reflection, or repentance, right? That is bypassing the heart. Nothing else happened apart from the eardrums having vibrated, right? The devil then capitalizes on the indifference of the hearer, comes quickly and snatches away any influence of the word. Following the careless hearers are the superficial hearers. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. For the superficial hearers, when crisis or trials come their way, their spiritual lifelessness is exposed and they abandon following Jesus. These people responded enthusiastically and emotionally when they heard the word of God, but did not anchor themselves in the word. Thereafter, their relationship with God is superficial, resting mainly on positive feelings rather than biblical truths. The next category of hearers are the carnal hearers. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and with it and choked the plants. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Carnal hearers receive the word, but are not shaped by it because the heart is divided. Spiritual growth is strangled by worldly distractions. They never spiritually mature or bear fruit. Their minds are constantly preoccupied with worries, riches, and pleasures of life. The fourth group are the sincere hearers. Still others seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This kind of hearer is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, described in Psalm 1. There is this continual absorption of nutrients resulting in fruit bearing. Sincere hearers meditate on the living word. They not only listen to the word, but also live it out. They are not self-centered, and they harbor no selfish agenda. Rather, they have receptive, honest, and persevering hearts and spirit. They hold fast to the word and bear fruit through patience and obedience. This parable represents four seed in soil situations, but with only two outcomes: fruitful and unfruitful. The fruit that God's word brings forth in our lives hinges on how we respond to it. Let me repeat that again. The fruit that God's word brings forth in our lives hinges on how we respond to it. Of the four hearers, only the sincere hearers are the ones that bear fruit as a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered witness for Jesus. That is the fruit that they bore. Right, Jesus mentioned or made this point right after the parable, talking about the lamb, putting the lamb, you know, not hiding the lamb in the shade, you know, or to let it shine. The emphasis in this parable is on hearing, for Jesus urged the audience to consider carefully how you hear in verse 18. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, so what kind of hearer are you? When you listen to the preaching of the sermon, what are you paying attention to or lending your ears to? What exactly is your focus? I remember preaching at a church many years ago where one worshipper sitting near to the front, I think about two rows away, was doing a fact check using his notebook as he listened. This person actually preached in EC here a few months back. Okay, I did not did what he, you know, did back at that time, okay? I only realized that, oh, this was the guy, you know. I wasn't upset, okay? I find it, oh, humorous, right? I didn't tell him, you know, remember when I was preaching and you were sitting there, and I didn't embarrass him. Now, okay, should the preacher or the sermon, listen carefully, should the preacher or the sermon, of course, assuming it's theologically sound, be responsible for your response of obedience to God? Let me ask this again. Should the preacher or the sermon, assuming it's theologically sound, be responsible for your obedience, for your response of obedience to God? Think about it. Now, let's look at the next offering in our worship of God when it comes to the hearing of the sermon. Willing hearts to obey. How do you know if you are a sincere hearer? You act on what you hear. Let's look at what James, who is likely to be the brother of Jesus and the leader of the Jerusalem Council, wrote in his epistle concerning this. James says in chapter 1, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. We must couple sincere hearing with obedience. Else, we are not going to grow spiritually. We are not going to bear fruit. We only fool ourselves if we think by just accumulation of the Bible knowledge, right? We only fool ourselves if we think just the accumulation of Bible knowledge is all that God cares about. No. A wealth of Bible knowledge can puff up a person. Hearing the word without doing is like acquiring and reading food recipes, but never cooking anything. Certainly he or she could talk about or boast about what is required to cook this dish, that dish. That's all. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. The purpose of a mirror, right, is self-examination. Right? People do it for various reasons, you know. But the word of God functions like a mirror. As we look intently into his word, we get to see where we have fallen short and what action we are to take, how we are to live. If we don't do anything, or worse, forget about it, we are treating ourselves unkindly. And God's word, and we are treating God's word as of no little or no value. I remember once I was out of the house with my shirt buttons misaligned, something like that. I know modern day trend is okay. Maybe for the youngsters, okay lah, huh? Okay, for the uncle like me, or this. Yeah. And there was another time, I went out wearing a T-shirt, you know, the reverse. It was inside out. Now, what would you say if I saw myself in the mirror looking like this and did nothing about it and still go out of the house in this manner? Notice that Jesus gave a warning in today's scripture passage, Matthew 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The consequence is serious when we are just hearers but not doers of God's word. We will be overwhelmed and not be able to carry on trusting God when trials and crisis comes our way. Knowing scripture without practicing it leads to instability. For example, someone may know biblical principles about forgiveness, right? But refuse to forgive, resulting in bitterness and fractured relationships. Great was its fall, right? Right at the end. Great was its fall emphasizes total collapse, not just minor damage. A life without submission to the living word and written word may look fine outwardly, but can collapse suddenly, like a career ruined by dishonesty or a family broken by selfishness. I don't know whether you read this week a very sad news in Christendom in the US. The fall of prominent Christian author Philip Yancey, who wrote several best-selling books like Where is God When It Hurts? Disappointment with God, What's So Amazing About Grace? This is a recent case in point, right? When we know the word, but we just know it, but we don't live it out. He admitted to an extramarital affair with a married woman for 8 years, not 8 weeks, 8 years. Within this period of 8 years, he published 4 books and had speaking engagements as well. He came out, he confessed his sin, and has since withdrawn himself from ministry. It is possible for a worshiper to talk about, teach, and preach God's word, and at the same time, sin willfully, actively engaging in sin against God. I have a friend who worships in a church near my place, who was serving as a deacon, actively serving as a deacon, but at the same time, he was living a secret life. He committed adultery, had an extramarital affair, and until later, he was found out and removed. He was actively serving as a deacon in that church. The point of the passage in James 1, as well in Matthew 7, is simple and clear. Not complicated. Very direct. We must be a hearer and doer of God's word. So next time, when you look into a mirror, be reminded that God's word, likewise, has a revealing function. So we need to pay attention. When it comes to God's word, to God's commands, and we need to obey them. Don't just glance and walk away. Just don't take pride or pat yourself on the back and said, "Oh, I've memorized scriptures." And if that's all that you did, you missed the point. And James tells us in the latter part of verse 25 that if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That is what God promises when we do His will. We receive His blessing. When we offer to God hearing ears and willing hearts to obey, God will shower us with spiritual blessings, which we carry into eternity. It doesn't disappear when we enter the grave. We bring it into eternity. I'm not sure what your thoughts and feelings are regarding what I've said so far in my sermon. Assuming you cannot understand, or you find my sermon too heavy going, or perhaps the opposite, too shallow, I invite you to focus on what God is saying to you through the Bible passages in the sermon. Right? It is about God, isn't it? God speaking to us. He's here. Right? Yes, I'm here speaking over a mic. But I'm pointing you to look at Scripture. Focus on that. I know some preachers, their sermon is very meaty, right? And it's hard to understand, hard to follow. And Peter said that about Paul also. You know, what Paul wrote, some is very hard to grasp. But the thing is that God wants us to focus right. He speaks, and we need to lend our ears to Him. Worship is spiritual in nature. Paul says the one who joins himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. The Holy Spirit is in you and me. God speaks, so tune our ears and your heart to Him and not primarily on the preacher. We need to practice that, really.